You may be seated. And today, the word of God will be delivered by our beloved brother, Brother David.
Yay! Man, where's all the excitement? Shalom! Man, you are in a treat today. Last time I was here 3 months ago, so whenever I come, I always bring something special. And who's excited? Who's excited? Actually, retreat is not next week. Who said that next week? It's Kat saying next week. It's not next week. It's this week, actually. Sunday is the first day of the week. Do you guys know that? You always feel like Sunday is the last day of the week, but Sunday is the first day of the week. So retreat is this coming. No, this Friday, this week. All right. So I'm here to share the Word of God. And I hope you're excited. The subtopic for this week is kind of preparing all of us for what's coming this week for the retreat. You know why? Because how many of you are going to the retreat? Can I see your hands? Hey, all right. Anybody's not going? All right. If you're not going or haven't planned, how come I hear something in the back? I hear something on my monitor for some reason. Do you guys hear that? Or is that just me? Okay, cool. There you go. It's gone. Thank you. So, where was I? Talking about who's going, who's not going. Oh, you'll have a wonderful time. For those of you who's coming for the retreat, the first time, you'll get addicted to this. Why? Because I'm pretty sure that God will what do you call it? Malawati. You know, he will touch you in a very different way. When we are all in the retreat, when we are dedicating our time to just focus on Jesus, to focus on God, God will just bring in wonders, signs, and miraculous things that could happen in your life. There will be more breakthrough. And some of you who will be doing a lot of marvelous things. Things that you have never done before, maybe. Some of you probably speaking about prophecy over your friend. Some of you are probably speaking about the word of healing, the word of reconciliation, the word of encouragement. For those of you who are down, when you go up to the mountain, to Loma Mar, you will come down refreshed. Because of what? Because that's where God speaks. That is the time when God specifically speaks to our life for these seasons, for this year in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, who remember, we started the series of He Speaks, started with Kojef. Kojef is here. You don't want to humiliate him, right? What did Kojef mention in his... Anybody remember? Anybody who's not here at the time? You better raise your hand so that's, you know, you get a free pass. Okay. I also forgot a little bit. But I believe Kojef mentioned about something about, this is the key nuggets that I take when he was preaching, about God indeed speaks. And when he speaks with a purpose. And at the time, God speaks sometimes through the angels. Sometimes he spoke through the prophets. The prophets, basically God's voice, the vehicle for him to speak to his people. And then Jesus comes, right? Who believes Jesus comes? Jesus comes. And he came to this earth, and he continued that. He became the ultimate prophet. He brought the news. He extended God's love to the people, right? And he spoke directly to the disciples, to some of the people around that time. And eventually, God left. He went to heaven, and he left us with Holy Spirit. All right. He left us with the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why in this retreat, some of you will be used by the Holy Spirit, or maybe some of you will be led by the Holy Spirit to start speaking about the word of encouragement, the word of healing, the word of prophecy. And you should basically do not let it hinder. Don't let anything hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. I remember last year, I spoke to one of our brother when I was praying and worshiping, and then God say, go to this person. I remember he said that, speak to him that his calling is a pastor. And I just talked to him, look, I don't know, God, but God say that God is calling you to be a pastor. And that guy just say, "Thank you, Kodavid, for confirming." I've never talked to this guy anything about being a pastor or having a calling of a pastor, but apparently he has been struggling with his calling, and just having to hear me out of nowhere speaking about the word pastoring is just confirming what he has been struggling. So some of you who you don't know anything about it, and sometimes then all of a sudden the audible things come to your mind. Pray for your friend. Pray for this person. Speak about it. Just go ahead and be bold and be let your life be used by God. Amen. So in this moment, next week, God wants to speak. Okay? If God wants to speak, how do we respond? So this is the title of this week's. When God speaks, listen and pay attention. Who's that? Oh, Chinita. Chinita can play Wheel of Fortune. All right, listen and pay attention. All right, so please open with me the book of Hebrew, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Book of Hebrew, is it Old Testament or New Testament? Sounds like Old Testament, right? Okay, if you get it, I have it here too. It says, the word of God from the book of Hebrew, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. We must pay the most careful attention, if you remember the title, listen and pay attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken to angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, which is Jesus, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonder, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. All right? So the word of God says, when God speaks, when the word of God was spoken, we must pay careful attention and to the things that we have heard and to the things that you will hear this coming retreat, right? So that we do not drift away, so that we do not wander away. So so that's the title. But there's one verse that really stuck to me. It says, for since the message spoken through the angel was binding, so if you word of God spoken through the angel, so this is talking about what time? I just spoke before. Right? God spoke through angels and prophets, and then Jesus, and then Holy Spirit. So when God spoke through angels, it was during the Old Testament. Thank you. And it says, it was so binding that every violation and disobedience receive its punishment. That's interesting. And I'm like, let me go find one of those stories. And I do find the stories. This is about one very good-looking man. Here we go. Okay, so anybody wants to guess who is this? It's somebody with the turban, with the stick. It's Moses. Okay, why? Because it's a shepherd. Because of what? Of what? The stick. Oh, okay. The stick. Yeah, because he has the stick that will strike the rock, and rock becomes water. Rock things out water. Okay, anybody wants to guess? Oh, let me tell you a little bit more about his biography. He is a very known, well-known character in the Bible for his great faith in God. He actually, if you look at his story, I'm sure you've read this story many times, you will quickly agree with me that he's a very special man, that God favored him so much and actually blessed him tremendously. Okay, you want to guess more now? Elijah. Elijah will wear a stick? Huh? Abraham, okay. In fact, prior to this study, and I think some of you will agree, when you read his story, you would agree with me that he is someone that is specially favored by God to the point where I believe he's just that holy man. He's the perfect man, blameless, And I think he's one of those best idols that I could have if we can have an idol from Christian characters. He's just, God is so favoring him so much, bless him abundantly in wealth, in his family, and he's just there. He's just basically God's favorite. So some of you already mentioned it. It's Abraham. And so, who agree Abraham was so blessed? Who agree Abraham like had it all? Actually, I look up to him. I thought like he's going to be one of those that's very holy, man. But in reality, right, when I look at this history, the story of Abraham closer and just follow him and just counting the years and the days, he's actually just like one of us. He's nothing special. He's not even holy. He's just making a lot of sin. He's also full of blames. He's just one of us. And for whatever reason, God chose him. Why? Because he's actually one of the patriarchs. Is that right? Patriarchs of the nation of Israel. If you guys read the Bible history, the nation of Israel came through the lineage of Abraham. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. From Jacob, there will be 12 nations, and they are the makeup of the nation of Israel. If I understand it correctly, right? So Abraham was the founding father of a nation of Israel, right? And believe it or not, God's covenant with Abraham still holds until today. The nation of Israel still holds a special place in God's heart for whatever reasons. Being it fair or unfair, but Jesus already make it quite fair for everyone. Because of Jesus, God's favor and blessing now apply to all of us. But it does not change the fact that God has a special place for the nation of Israel. Because of what? Because God had made that covenant with Abraham. Okay? So when God promised with you with something, you believe it, he will see it through until you die. Or even until you pass away and then your descendants. Okay? So you'll be very surprised. Why could David say, oh, Abraham is that, ugly examples? You will hear. Specifically in the area of listening to God's words. Okay? So open with me, Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go through 4 chapters until 6 o'clock today. Go through from chapter 12 to 16. It says, if you look at the book of Genesis, this is the introduction of Abraham. Abraham was introduced in the chapter 11, where they just go through where Abraham came from Noah all the way to Abraham. And chapter 12, here it is. The first thing that you will hear from the chapter 12, anybody open the work? Are you going to follow me? He says, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. So the first thing that we learn is that when God, all of a sudden, God spoke to Abraham, this is it. Abraham, go, whatever the land they show. Go over there, I will bless you. Whoever fights with you, whoever curses you, I will curse them back. Whoever blesses you, I will bless them back. So, what did Abraham do? He immediately went, right? So, so if I were Abraham, who would not go? If somebody right now, God tells you, go to. What's a bad place? Oh, go to Mexico, the country of Mexico. If you go there, I promise you $1 billion worth company to be your possessions. Who would go? Wow, so many. Huh? Okay, maybe not enough. Okay, so how about you go to Mexico? And then I say, you know what? I'll make you the president of that country right away. Who would still go? Wow, man, this is a tough crowd. This is a very tough crowd. Huh? Oh, you prefer cash? Okay, then. Okay, all right. So if you go to Mexico, God will give you $10 billion in gold. When you land, you'll get gold worth $10 billion. Who will go? Wow. Those that raise their hands, very materialistic. So. Actually, I would too. Why wouldn't I? If you have a friend, and say, you know what? You go to IFGF Pinol, after you go, you come back here, for sure God will guarantee you get 4.0 in DVC for this semester. Who will not go to IFGF Pinol if God can do that? Right? Everybody say, oh, you know what? I'll just go for one time. Just because God says, if you come this week, you get 4.0 for the semester. I will go, right? Why? Because there is a reward. There is something waiting, something good waiting for you, especially the things that you desire. And that's the thing with Abraham, right? He immediately went. He said, look, leave your household. What is this? Leave your family. What is it? Go from your country. Go from your people. Go from your father's household to the land I will show you, and I'll bless you. You know, Abraham, like me, will not second guess. If God is promising something good, I will go. You know what? That's who we are. When somebody calls us and we promise something good, 100% probability will happen. We follow, because we follow what we like. Amen? Agree? Who does not agree with this statement? Right? We selectively hear the things that we want to hear. Believe it or not, right? When you get a phone call from maybe when you're interviewing something for a job, you're waiting for that call, and that call happens. You want to hear what? What do you want to hear? Rejection, or you want to hear acceptance? You want to hear acceptance because of what? That's what we want. That's what we like. That's what Abraham wants, right? Selectively, believe it or not, we're like him. We just want to hear something that is good and nice. And here we go. Exactly. When God say, go, I will bless you. Abraham just said, you know what, God? You don't even have to tell me twice. I'm going now. So at the time, let's take a look about the life of Abraham. At the time when this is spoken, word of God spoken, Abraham was about 75 years old. Can you imagine 75 years old? Maybe some of you, maybe like in the 20s, this is probably your grandpa. Imagine your grandpa, okay? Your grandpa and grandma. Abraham was 75. Sarah was 65 years old. Your grandpa, grandma, going somewhere. And at the time, they already married, and they were already old. They have not had any kids yet, right? So, as you know, as a family, you want to have kids. So having a kid has been a struggle for them. But this good news comes, we'll go, okay? So Abraham and Sarah go. And just keep in mind about the history, the background of the life of Abraham at the time. Okay, so he went. Then if you kind of jump to the chapter 13, Abraham obeyed. He went to the land of Negev, I think. And along the way, God's promise indeed fulfilled. Basically, along the way, as soon as he go to a land, for whatever reason, people give him lamb, people give him cattle and everything. He start growing wealth. So he's getting his blessing. God is speaking about the blessing. The blessing is happening, right? He's enjoying it. And God is walking with him. Every place he go, he worship God. And God start throwing all these small details. He said, look, again, I told you about all this land I give you. I did give you. But then God says in the chapter 13, verse 14, it says this. It's the same. But look at the difference. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and west, all the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring. So if you remember, 75 years old, very old, have not had kids yet, you start getting the blessing, you can start accumulating the wealth, But God says, I'll give you all the land, I'll give you all these possessions to you and to your offspring. There's that little details that God start putting in. Here you go, offspring. And if you keep on reading, that is the time when God start mentioning the word of offspring, the son, the descendant, the lineage of Abraham. And you know what did Abraham does? What did Abraham do at the time? No, he doesn't care, because he still doesn't feel enough. He continued to build his wealth. He became a warrior. He fight the kingdom kings. He won over them. He becomes very wealthy. He became one of a strong political figure at the time. He, at one point, he has to lie to the Pharaoh because the Pharaoh wants Sarah. Sarah apparently is so beautiful at the age of 65. He said that, Sarah, if you claim I'm your husband, for sure Pharaoh will kill me. Because of that, we have to do a white lie. Let's just say we are brother and sister. Is that a true lie or white lie? True lie or white lie? It is actually a white lie. You know why? Because Abraham actually married his cousins. Sarah is actually his, you know, second, third cousins. So technically he said, oh, you're my sister, cousins, is correct. But he's not telling the Pharaoh that Sarah was his wife. Because of what? He fears for his life. Even though all the blessing that God has promised him, he still fear for his life. He still fear for his wealth. Amen? So, so what happened at the time? God is throwing him this little details, hey, about your wealth and your offspring. And he's just not listening. What happened? He get distracted with the things that make him excited at the time. So it's the same thing with us, right? First of all, when somebody promised you something, for those of you who just came, the first thing I said that if God is telling you, come to FGF Pinol and you get 4.0 average, would you come? Yeah? Wow, very tough crowd too. I would come. I would do, especially when they give him money, right? So that's the first thing. We're selectively hearing what we want to hear. Second, he is so distracted. And I can feel it too. When you are on the roll, when everything goes well, you go to DVC, you go study here, you go to Pinol, your ministry, your score, your grade is good, you got a girlfriend, boyfriend, life is good. You know what? Sometimes God start disappearing in our life. We think less about God. We think less about what God is wanting in our life. We just focus on the thing that we enjoy. It's the same thing with Abraham. He just focused on his cattle. He's focused on his wealth, his people, his family. He forget about the details about the offspring. And same thing, when we are so feeling good, I personally, one of those persons, when I feel so good, man, I feel I have the power of the world. Who needs God? I was like that. And I would just, you know, feel so good. And I just completely forgot about what is, we lose focus, basically. I lose focus on why am I here? Why am I enjoying all of this? Right? And same thing, Abraham just completely lose it. Okay? Only after he has almost everything, in chapter 15, when he has everything, all the wealth, all his power, then he start complaining with God. Again, God spoke to him. He says, in chapter 15, if you want to follow, first one, he said, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Correct, right? It's the same covenant, same promises. But then Abraham says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is a leisure of Damascus. I don't know who that person is. Definitely not Abraham's kid. But you would think, okay, now Abraham come to his senses. I can probably propose an argument of the fact that he was so wealthy at the time, he wanted to keep his wealth within his lineage. And he just realized, I don't have anybody to take over my wealth. It's still the self-ego kind of mindset. I already have everything. Man, who's going to have this? Why do I have to accumulate all this wealth and give it to somebody? Somebody from Damascus. He said that, I want to have a kid then. Now this is the time, right? When you have, sometimes when you are in the top of everything, when some of us want to be like the celebrity, the Hollywood, right? Because that's the life we want to be, right? Like, who's this? Miley Cyrus or Selena Gomez, right? You know what happened to them? After they all have the fame, the world, what did they do? They all come to addictions. They all come to some sort of war, bad lifestyle. When they think they're already in the top, they think they have everything. But actually, they have a big hole. They have something that they're missing. And the same thing with Abraham. When he has everything, he realized now, I have a big hole in my life. I don't have a kid. Right? So he complained to God now. God, what is this for if I don't have my kids? Then God says again, then God says, respond to him. In verse 4, he says, this man, whoever this man from Damascus, will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside. God took Abraham outside and said, look up to the sky and count the stars. If you need to count, if indeed you can count them, then he said, so shall your offspring be. So Abraham believed the Lord. After he complained, God says, see, I have been talking to you about your offspring since many years. You just never listens. But now, look at the sky. I renew my promise again. So shall be your offspring. Okay? Everything's good, right? Well, not really. If you look at a few verses down, verse 12, from verse 4 to verse 12, very short. Then the Lord said to him in his dream, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in the country, not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nations they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out the great possessions. If you think about it, the story of Moses has been prophesied by God in the time of Abraham. The nation of Israel wandering in the desert for hundreds of years actually have been told to Abraham. You know what Abraham did after listening to this? Want to guess? Nothing. He did not do anything. It's such a contrast to the response that he showed when Lot was under persecutions of one of the kingdom. There are two incidents when Lot was under a lot of troubles. One of them was when he and Lot parted ways. Lot went to the edge of the Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah was invaded by the foreign kingdoms. As such, Lot's possession was taken away. Lot became a slave. Hearing this, what did Abraham do? He said he took all his men. He went to fight the kingdoms led by four or five kings. And he actually was able to win over and release Lot from the persecutions. When Abraham heard something wrong about Lot, his nephew, he did something. If you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God is about to throw the sulfur, the fire, to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, what did Abraham do? Anybody remember? He pleaded with God. He said, God, if only there's 50 people in that city, would you still burn it? God says, I will not burn it. I said, oh, how about 40? Oh, how about 30? How about 20? Even like, how about 5? I think we say 5 or something. Very small number. If there's 5 faithful guys in the city, would you destroy the city? God says, I will give you time to save the people that you want to save. He responded differently this time because I think he is being ignorant. At the time, Abraham's struggle and troubles was, I want to have a kid now. I have all this wealth. I don't have a kid. I want to have a kid now. And God told him, okay, I will give you a kid. But remember, your kids, your descendants will suffer under persecutions of many kingdoms for many hundred years. And Abraham says, you know what? That's probably the problem many, many years from now. What I want to do is now. And some of us, when we are struggling with our problems, you know God is calling you somewhere. God has this big picture in your life. But as you're going through your struggles, as you're going through your problems, the first thing you're asking God is, get me out of here. Save me from this misery. Save me from this problem. I don't know, God, why I'm struggling with this math. You know, I don't know how. Can you please give me an easy problem? Can you send someone who can give me the cheat sheet? Can you do something so I can ace this problem? And we completely forgot about the wonderful future that God has for us. It's the same thing. Abraham was so focused on his own present problem, he completely ignored what's going to happen in his descendants. He could have just prayed and said, God, what is it that I should do so that my descendant will not be enduring these persecutions? The same way he would save Lot, the same way he would save his own family at the time, he could do something. But he chose to be ignorant at the time. Okay? So nothing happened. When God prophesying about his descendant being this, he stays silent, Abraham stays silent. And what happened? A few short times later, you guys want to guess how many short times later it is from the moment God spoke to Abraham about this, about you're going to have a son? Remember, Abraham is about 75, maybe. So God spoke to him, you will have a son. It was 11 years later. So how old is Abraham now? 86. Wow, you do good math. So 86 years old. So if you think about it, right? When you're a husband and wife and you try to have a kid, what do? You have sex, right? You have sex for how many years now? If you just count from the moment God was given this word, for 11 years and nothing happens. Nothing happened for 11 years. And I believe they've been looking for a son before they were 75 and 65 years old. Plus the 11 years, when they were 86 and Sarah was 76, they could not conceive a kid, having heard that God would bless them. What do they do after that? I would do the same thing. I'll probably go tired of this. So sick of this. I have all the wealth. I've been living in a black hole for 11 years. The things that I want now, the things that I desire right now, is not happening for 11 years. What did they do? Sarah come up with the idea. Oh, man, so long, huh, Abraham? You know, I have my mate here. She's pretty young. Her name is Hagar. Why don't you just sleep with him? We sleep with her. Maybe she can born your son to be my family. And what did Abraham say? Okay, I guess this is it. Better than nothing. I'll do it. What happened? She slept with Abraham, and Hagar was pregnant. And what happened after Hagar was pregnant? If you look at the story in chapter 15 or 16, he says, as soon as Hagar was pregnant with Ishmael, she began to despise her mistress. If you think about it, your boss cannot have a kid. Now you're carrying the boss kid, the first ever kid. Have you guys watched all this Korean drama? What happened to the queen when the concubine get the first kid? The concubine becomes like, you know, puffed up. Oh, look who's here. You dare to touch me? Sarah say, hey, Hagar, go cook something. I don't think so. Go cook yourself, right? I'm pregnant, man. I'm bearing our master's firstborn. You know, you don't talk to me like that. What happened? Sarai was pissed. Man, I have this slave. She's not listening to me. What did she do? Start complaining to Abraham. Hey, look at your look at this lady. The fact that she has your son, she wants to be the new mistress of the house. And Abraham says, well, you gave her to me. That's exactly what Abraham says. It's because you are asking me to sleep with her. Now she's pregnant with my own kid. Why are you blaming me? In fact, it's Sarah's idea, if you remember. Abraham agreed, right? What happened? Every day Hagar is doing this. Sarah was pissed. Sarah was complaining. Blah, 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 blah. And there's what happened in the household when you have something like that? Lots of fights, lots of disagreement, lots of unhappiness. Right? They start breaking up. Abraham's household start breaking up, breaking apart. Right? If your household is fighting every day, are you enjoying God's blessing then? No. You have a problem with the black hole. Now you're pressing the black hole with the constant daily fighting in the house. Why? Why? It's because both Abraham and Sarah decided to rebel against God's way. When God tells him, I will bless you with Sarah, I will bless you with the kid. They're just not patient enough. They went outside God's covenant and did something that is not within God's provision blessing. As a result, here's what happened. Ishmael was born. Ishmael was born, and technically he is the firstborn in Abraham's house. Sarah, of course, does not want all the wealth go from Abraham to Ishmael, right? So Sarah argued again. So what did Abraham do? Eventually, Abraham says this. Eventually, okay, you know what, Sarah? Don't worry, okay? Eventually, when we have our kid, I will cast him out. Imagine when you were born to a family, your own dad cast you out. You're not guilty of anything. But Ishmael was cast out, and he grew up not having the fatherly love. If you look at in the statistics of the U.S., so many divorce, so many kids raised up without the fatherly love. Fatherly love is basically the foundations that we need in order for us to be able to grow and to be the proper man and woman. It's like the word says, this word says, apa? Kembalikanlah hati dari anak ke bapa dan bapa ke anaknya. Right? This is where God wants us to all of us to do. When you don't have your fatherly love, there's still a father, God himself. If you don't get the love of your own father, there's still one father that loves you so much. And that's the reason why he says that this fatherly love is so important. It's also so damaging when Abraham decided to cast him away. And he said, God is prophesying Ishmael like this. Sure, I will bless him because he is Abraham's lineage, Abraham's son. But he will grow up like a wild donkey. He will grow up and his descendant will be fighting with each other. He says, what do you call that? He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hands will be against everyone and everyone's hands against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. If you look at the history, the descendants of Ishmael are the people who live in the Middle Eastern, in the Arab countries. There's so many fights and wars over there until today. If you look at it from the time of Abraham all the way until now, God prophecy, when God is saying something, it will happen, guys. If you look at it, Ishmael's descendants are all the Arab countries. It is not because of God wants it to be like that. It's because this is what happened with Abraham, cast him out. He lost his fatherly figure. And because of that, he cannot live in peace. Every single one of them cannot live in peace. Because of what? because of the rebellions that Abraham and Sarah decided to do. So, 75 plus 11 years, 86, Ishmael was born. You know, around what time does Isaac eventually show up from this moment? If you look at the Bible, it was another 13 years. So there will be there was a silence of 11 years until they rebel, and there will be another 13 years before Isaac comes along. So imagine those 13 years. What used to be a black hole of looking for a son become a 13 years of internal fighting, suffering, self-desperations that they have to endure before God fulfill his promise. I invited to the music team to come. I believe every one of us have a purpose like Abraham. We have a calling. Abraham had a calling. His calling happened to be the beginning of a nation. Some of you probably have a different calling, but I believe every one of us have a calling. And some of you will be revealed, your calling will be revealed through your circumstances at the church, in your school, in your workplace. Some of them is revealed in the sharing of a care group or somebody prophesying you. This coming retreat, somebody probably will be prophesying over what your future will be. What is your calling in God's kingdom? Right? You will hear about your future. Right? And believe it or not, we could hit one of these four. We could be selectively hearing, oh, Kodafit, just pray for me about my future job. I want a job in whatever company. I want to make this much money. Just pray me over that one. That's one thing I need right now. Or some of you are like so good in your life. Your family is good. You're like, you know what? I'm it. I'm there. Who else? Who else need about the future? I'm enjoying it. I don't care. Or some of us are like struggling. And we just say, God, just take me out of this misery. And the worst thing maybe the last one, right? When you are either so good in your life, you enjoy your life, or you're so desperate, struggling with your own problem, your own situations at this moment, and what you choose now is to rebel and to do the things that is outside God's covenant, God's provision for you, for me. And that is the time when you feel like your short fix or your decisions to basically choose the path that is wrong giving you that temporary solutions, but then you will hear nothing from God. It is as if God was silent. It is as if God no longer speaks to you. Well, the story of Abraham gives us a little bit of hope. Although it's not such a beautiful story, it took Abraham about 24 years from the moment God spoke to him about his offspring. It takes him 24 years before Isaac came along. It is still a beautiful story that indeed God is faithful. God keeps his promise no matter what Abraham did. And I can tell you, God's promise in your life is also true and will come to pass. The question is, do we want to be like Abraham? Do we want to be like Abraham, who's basically doing all these four things and you just basically delaying and deviating from the path you're about to take? I believe that if Abraham indeed true listen and pay attention to God, Isaac maybe could have come, you know, was born maybe in a few years after that, when Abraham was just stay true in his calling, listening to God for every single details that he spoke to him. Because of all he's doing, he delayed for 24 years. And I don't want all of you to reach your ultimate calling in 24 years. I will be around 60 years old then. You will probably be about 40 years. That's too long of a time. In the meantime, you're wasting all this time, all your potentials, all the things that God can work through you and do through you. I hope by understanding, Abraham's story is still a beautiful story. But you can make it more beautiful in your life. We can make it more beautiful. Learning from his mistakes, let's not delay. Let's not deviate more. Let's not fall into the temptation, the lies, deceptions, and distractions that give us that temporary fix. Stay true to the course. When God is calling you to do something, when God even calls you to Indonesia to do something, do the best you can. Pursue that goal. If that's you confirm and you are convinced that's what God's calling for you, do it 100%. Don't get distracted. All of us had a better choice. We have the opportunity to reach our end goal. Especially this coming week when we go to the retreat, some of that goal will be revealed to you. And I believe that. Because in that special moment, usually, normally, and most of the time, God will show up in signs and wonders and miracles. The things that you think is impossible, made possible at the time. There will be breakthrough again for your spiritual walk, for my spiritual walk. Let's not delay. Amen? When God speaks, we better what? Listen and pay attention. Not pay attention 90%, we have to pay attention 100%. Because God speaks the details. We have to get the details. If we get the details, we get it right, that thing will come to pass very quickly. Amen? Let's stand up. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Such a wonderful story. Such a wonderful revelation, Jesus. It's amazing that how much you can teach us from the life of Abraham. It's amazing, Jesus. It's amazing, God, that you have spoken us. Yet sometimes we miss it. Sometimes your voice is just overwhelmed by all the noise, all the struggles that we have, all the winnings, all the distractions, the enjoyment, the happiness, the temporary happiness that we enjoy is silencing your voice. Lord, right now, help us, Lord. As we are preparing ourselves for your word, for the word that has been shared today, for the word that we're going to read tonight, for the word that we're sharing with our friends in our care group, in our fellowship, Jesus. Lord, help us so we can catch that small details. Help us that we can catch, we do not miss that details, Lord Jesus, about your calling in our life, Jesus. Help us, Lord, especially for this coming retreat. Lord, I pray for an open heart, open ears, that they will be able to listen to you, that they will be able to receive revelations about their calling in their life according to your will, God. Lord, let there be sign, wonder, miracles be shown that your people can testify and can affirm that this is indeed the confirmations that you have provided to them, Jesus. Lord, make it known. The same way you make it known to Abraham, make it known to us so that we don't miss all the details, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to miss the bus. We don't want to be delaying. We don't want to be deviating, Lord Jesus, from getting to our end goals, Jesus, to pursuing our end goal, to pursuing our finish line, Jesus. Help us, Lord, so that we don't get distracted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, so we together as a church can remind each other. When some one of us is deviating, another one can pull us back. One of us can pray over us, Jesus. One of us can prophesying over us, Jesus. One of us can praying over us. One of us can give us that word of encouragement that we can be together walking to the narrow path that you have set us forth, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. May the word of God that has been thrown today, seated, rooted strong in your heart, may it be rooted strong, grow, becoming a fruitful trees that will bear fruit in your life, and it will bless you and it will bless others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody who have received the word of God today, say hallelujah. Amen.